Welcome to A Brief Contact with Prensa Latina Radio to learn more about the inhumane 60-year-old U.S. blockade against the Caribbean island. But Cuba is not alone. U.S. citizens and peace organizations held demonstrations the past weekend in the cities of New Haven, Hartford, and Middletown to demand that the government of President Joe Biden end the blockade against Cuba. Protesters also urged that peace prevail in Eastern Europe and the war between Russia and Ukraine ends, a crisis encouraged by Washington and its allies of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. While the world focuses its attention on the European crisis and launches toxic campaigns defending U.S. hegemony, U.S. citizens remember that the island has suffered the consequences of an unjust economic and commercial siege for six decades. The U.S. authorization of a new channel for sending remittances to Cuba could alleviate an unfair measure for families, although it increases the costs of the transactions. Deputy Foreign Minister Carlos Fernandez de Cosío said that the United States banned remittances via Western Union to Cuba, which charged around $5 per 100 cent, to apparently authorize formulas that charge the sender up to $30 per 100 on Twitter. In October 2020, Donald Trump's administration put an end to Western Union's relations with Cuban financial institutions in charge of processing remittances, specifically Fincimex, under the false pretext that the government or the armed forces would get part of the amount sent. Although Democrat Joe Biden promised to reestablish the remittance flows during his presidential campaign, he maintained this measure when he reached the White House under the pretext that the money sent did not favor the government of Havana. As a result, during the COVID-19 pandemic, Cuban families had to resort to irregular ways to send their money, and this procedure became up to six times more expensive. Remittances may now be deposited in the free convertible currency accounts of the Bandac, BPA, and Metropolitano banks, and transfers may be made through the Canadian company's website. Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Cuba will begin to issue visas in a limited and gradual manner after remaining closed for more than 4 years. The embassy reduced its staff to a minimum in September 2017 when the administration of Republican Donald Trump argued mysterious health incidents described as sonic attacks that affected its diplomats in 2016 and 2017 and were later reported in other embassies around the world. The consulate closure was a significant blow to Cubans forced to travel to a third country, such as Colombia and Guyana, to apply for the document. The embassy's chargé d'affaires, Timothy Zúñiga Brown, explained that, in principle, the consulate would only schedule appointments for immigrant visas for those who have submitted their complete documentation. The main processing location for applicants for visas will be Georgetown, Guyana, in the transition period. The United States has failed to comply with the 20,000 visas committed in the immigration agreements in these 4 years. In a tweet, Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez said that it would be a step in the right direction when the resumption takes place. And in this regard, the announcement that the United States Embassy in Cuba is preparing to resume its consular services in Havana received the approval of different voices in the North American nation. The head of Foreign Affairs Committee of the Lower House, Gregory Meeks, welcomed the decision, which does not yet have a date to enter into force, to resume the issuance of immigrant visas after 5 years and urged President Joe Biden to continue to commit to the Cuban people. On her Twitter account, Democratic Representative Barbara Lee stressed that this is an important step in the normalization of relations between the two countries and also called on the head of the White House to continue that line to reverse decades of failed policies regarding the island. Thousands of Cubans will now be able to reunite with their families in the United States. Joaquin Castro, also a Democratic legislator, highlighted on his social networks, expressing his interest in working together with the State Department for a greater commitment to Cuba. Likewise, the head of the Energy and Commerce Committee of the House of Representatives, Babiel Rush, who describes himself as a longtime defender of a greater diplomatic commitment with Cuba, applauded the measure. For its part, the Center for Democracy in Americas stressed that this reopening would prevent Cubans from making the prohibitively expensive and often unsafe trip abroad to access U.S. consular services. According to Cuban authorities, the secession of legal channels and the strengthening of the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by Washington stimulate irregular migration from the island to the point of putting life at risk. And this is all for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Hilda Hill from Prensa Latina Radio, looking forward to meeting again next Monday.